application on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Today, Wednesday, is the 16th of the month of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter An-Naml, verse 36 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ سُلَيْمَانَ قَالَ أَتُمِدُّونَنِ بِمَالٍ فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا آتَاكُمْ فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا آتَاكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بِهَدِيَّتِكُمْ تَفْرَحُونَ
So when they came to Solomon, he said, Do you provide me with wealth? But what Allah has given me is better than what He has given you. Rather, it is you who rejoice in your gift.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is worthy to note that from the viewpoint of divine religions, virtue does not mean that a person deprives himself from the wealth, property, and material potentialities of the world. But the reality of virtue is that one does not make himself captive to them, but he must be a commander over them. By rejecting the precious presents that the Queen of Saba had sent for the Prophet Sulaiman, this great divine prophet showed that he was a commander, not a captive.
It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah what can be said of Mustafa he was the wish of Musa or the news of Isa the prayer of Ibrahim What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa. Or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah.
We're speaking about giving gifts in Islam. Be with us. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, said, exchange presents with one another. Presents remove ill will from the hearts. This is obvious if you want to forge a relationship with someone or you wish to apologize for a mistake, then gifts will work most of the time. Of course, it depends on the magnitude of the mistake. Sometimes giving a present does not work as well as a sincere apology. It should be noted from this narration that presents should definitely be exchanged in the reconciliation process between two friends or family members. This will help mend the relationship which suffered due to a person's error. Another hadith has been narrated in regards to gifts. The Prophet said, give presents to one another. Presents remove malice from the heart. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. So we find that this kind of, giving gift isn't just for the sake of making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delighted. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our gifts. Our gifts, however great and huge or, for example, enormous they might seem, they are really inconsiderable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the grandeur and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this kind of, giving gift isn't just for the sake of giving any kind of a positive feeling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it means showing a degree of piety with regard to the religious instructions. Elsewhere, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated, خَيْرُ إِخْوَانُكُمْ مَنْ أَهْدَى إِلَيْكُمْ عُيُوبُكُمْ من أهدى إليكم عيوبكم. The best of your friends are those who dedicated to you, who give you as a gift your correctable characteristics, your correctable moral features. What does it mean? It means that when you direct someone to a proper way or to a proper play, to a proper practice, in fact, you've directed him or her to keep away from some unacceptable modes of behavior. And this is really a very great moral gift.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now, what are the effects of gift givings? The term peace offering is used in contemporary cultures when someone brings a gift to a rival or adversary to diffuse the situation and bring about friendship. This is the number one effect of giving gifts reported by the Prophet too. He said, "Give presents to one another. Presents remove malice from the heart." He also said, "Exchange presents with one another. Presents remove ill will from the hearts."
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? Show gratitude to your Creator, and please do not delay.
As the previous programs, we have another item to offer as a gift. Prayer rock and tasbih for everyone, family, friends, teachers. Another amazing Islamic gift idea for that are very common around the Muslim community is giving a prayer rock and tasbih to Muslim brothers and sisters. As we all know that all Muslims have to pray 5 times a day or 3 times a day, therefore no gift can be better than giving a prayer rock and tasbih. Different sizes and types of prayer rocks are available in the market. You can buy a small size rock for the children and a full size rock for the man and the woman. On the other hand, you can also buy a digital tasbih that a man and woman can hold in their fingers for the whole day. In short, these things are the most popular items to give as a gift to Muslim brothers and sisters.
My dear brothers and sisters, in Islam, generosity is a virtuous act and greed is something that is not looked down upon. Greed is destructive to a person, it's destructive to families, it's destructive to societies. Today you see in societies where there is unequal distribution of wealth, you see it's because one group of people, one segment in the society, they have control of all the wealth while the majority, they don't have anything. Right now they're saying we live in a time where 99% of the wealth belongs to 1% of the people. Is that fair? Now, of course, people are entitled to whatever they made and they are allowed to have their money. But Islam says, give. Be encouraged to give. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, ayyun nas afdaluhum imanan. O Rasulullah, who out of the people has the most iman? Rasulullah says, Absatuhum kaffan. The one whose hands are open, the one who gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, As-sakhi qareebu min Allah, qareebu min al-nas, qareebu min al-jannah. The generous person is close to God, close to people, and close to paradise. Wal-bakhil, and the greedy and stingy person, ba'idun min Allah, ba'idun min al-nas, qareebun min al-nar. And the one who's stingy is far from God, and the one who's stingy is far from God, far from people, and close to the nar, close to the hellfire. Because this person is stingy. And a lot of people, because of their stinginess, they start not giving their dues, not giving their khums, not giving their zakat, not helping people who are in need. You might have family members, you might have relatives, you might have parents, and brothers, and sisters, and cousins, and relatives. Salat rahim. If someone is stingy, they start not helping the closest people to them. This is why the religion of Islam encourages giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection, and of course don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en, today's special. By the way, we continue this interesting topic that was giving gifts in Islam.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and here is food for thought for you today in the form of a beautiful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Exchange visits, treat each other mercifully, give each other, and do not be like the hypocrites who say what they do not do.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the fruits and benefits and consequences of the fear of Allah. You know, the fear of Allah is one of those beautiful and very essential and very central Islamic traits in the universe of, that is, Islamic morals and ethics. In fact, you know, this is a very famous tradition that the Holy Prophet said, the beginning of wisdom, Ra'asul Hikmat, the beginning of wisdom and hikmat is the fear of Allah, Makhafatullah. Right, so this, there's nobody can deny the very central role that this plays in Islamic ethics. In fact, in, you know, we have the very famous verse of the Holy Quran. You've all heard of it, and you've all listened to it. You memorized it, in which God says that, you know, surely we have created you as tribes, and as nations, so that you know one another. Verily, the most noble of you is the one who is the most pious and the most God-fearing. Inna akramakumullah, inna Allah atqakum. Right, so we all know that this is very, very central and pivotal trait of in Islam. But what are its benefits? Let's look at the benefits of this in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet said, Allah Blessed and Most High says the following. So this is a hadith al-Qudsi. The Prophet is narrating this saying of God, but of course it's not revelation, it's not part of the Quran, but it's a hadith al-Qudsi. God says, by my honor and majesty, God swears by his honor and majesty, I do not combine two types of fear for my servant. Neither do I combine two types of security for him. If he feels secure from me and my punishment in this world, I will frighten him on the day of resurrection. Right? So somebody feels like he's okay, nothing's going to happen to him on the day of resurrection. He's not really scared about what's going to occur in the hereafter. This is a bad sign, right? Everybody's going to be afraid of God, regardless of whether it's in this world or in the hereafter. If we're not afraid of him in this world, then for sure, on that day, we're going to be afraid and fearful of him when we see the punishment of God. So it's better to be afraid of God here in this world. So that's why God says the following in continuation. He says, and if he, meaning the servant, fears me in this world, I will provide security for him on the day of resurrection. Right? On the day of resurrection, he will be secure and safe from the punishment of God. This is one of the benefits of the fear of God. That on that day, we won't be fearful. That's a very fearful and very scary day. In fact, you read in the Holy Quran that it's so fearful and scary that if when the day of resurrection appears, if there's a child who is being nursed by his mother, the mother will throw away the child and run out of fear. But we know that the mother's love for her child is something that surpasses all loves. But that day is so scary and fearful that even she will forget her child on that day. So let's be fearful of God in this world so we can be in security on the hereafter. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the fear of God and its fruits in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد
وعلى جميعهم. Welcome back, respected brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us. Inshallah, we'll continue with التقاء الساكنتين or رفع التقاء الساكنتين, the prohibition or avoiding the two sakin letters meeting each other. So, if you are ready, we studied everything we learned about and we explained, okay, what it really is, what it really means, okay? So, now we are talking about the group of exceptions that we assigned with fatha or dhamma. If the word min approaches a sakin letter, which harakat do you assign the noon with? With fatha, right? The next rule talks about like three words which are important. Hum, kum, tum. So, look, these three words, hum, kum, tum, all are pronouns in Arabic. So,
you see, when we speak Arabic,
salamun alaykum. Salam to you all.
Wa ana lam aqula wa alaykum assalam.
Wa alaykum assalam.
I won't say it.
Look, alaykum assalam. Alaykum. Sakin. Mim sakin. Good example. Thank you, Mahdi. Let's recite a salawat for Mahdi. Alaykum assalam.
Alaykum assalam. Just read that.
Ah, how did you? No, look. The mim is sakin. Alaykum mim sakin.
Because, but we used
we used
dhamma.
As-salam, yeah, wait. As-salam, so it is alif lamu ta'rif, right?
Yes.
Lamu ta'rif with hamzatul wasl. Hamzatul wasl will be skipped.
Yes.
When you join the words.
Yes.
Lam is sakin. Even lam is skipped, then the next letter, sin.
It's a shamsi word, so lam should be skipped.
Lam should be skipped, mashallah. Shamsi letter. But the sin has a tashdeed. It means there are two sin. The first one is sakin.
So for mim,
so wait.
Zama.
Mim, sakin. Okay. Sin, sakin. Okay. Two sakin letters or no?
Yes.
So which harakat do you assign with?
Zama, zama.
Dhamma. Dhamma. So, kum, hum.
Oh, sir.
Tum.
Because the four letters is Zamma.
That's okay. No, it is not the point, okay? Maybe sometimes in some words you'll find that there is no Dhamma before it, but still you do it. Maybe. I'm saying that's not the rule. The rule is with these three words, okay? Remember that three words. So how to fix this?
Kum.
Ah, kumul.
Kum.
Okay? Or whatever, any other silent letter that we have. I mean, second letter that we have. So, alaykum assalam. Okay?
Alaykum assalam.
Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun. Wa ulaika humul muflihun. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the first page we have. Right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think we have to go and practice some in the Quran Kareem. Okay? Just remember that there is also sometimes just this case as well, okay, this exception as well, then it's enough for this session. I mean, the studying, okay? We'll go and practice some on the Quran Kareem. Then we'll go and study the new rules. So one more. If there is a vowel, which is sakin, in a word, I mean a word that ends with a vowel, which is sakin, okay, Muhammad Yahya?
Yes.
And before that waw, we have fatha.
Yes.
So what did I say? Fatha, then waw sakin. Fatha, then waw sakin. So in this case, if this waw sakin meets a silent letter after it, because it is sakin, fatha, sakin waw, another sakin letter, is it iltiqa'u sakinatain or no?
Yes.
So what do you? How should you prohibit or prevent this case?
Fatha or zamma.
Okay, what?
Zamma.
It's not kasra because we are reading exceptions, yes?
Yeah. Zamma.
Ah, dhamma. You assign the waw with dhamma.
Yes.
For example, I'm saying. For example, ra'aw. Ra'aw al-azab.
Ra'aw
al-azab.
But we say ra'aw al-azab.
Ra'aw al-azab. Ishtaraw al-dhalala.
Ishtaraw al-dhalala.
Ishtaraw al-dhalala. All right?
Yeah, because itself has.
Okay, if you say it's not possible. Can you say Ra'aw and Al-Azab together? Without any harakat. No, do not assign one with harakat.
Say again, what was the word?
Say the word Ra'aw.
Ra'aw.
Al-Azab.
Al-Azab.
Now read them together without the harakat on the top of it.
Ra'aw.
It's not possible. It's not possible. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not possible, right, Mahdi? So, ishtaraw. Say, Mahdi. Ishtaraw. Ishtaraw.
Ishtaraw.
Al-dalala.
Al-dalala.
Now join them together without the harakat of waw. No, without the harakat of waw.
Ishtaraw. Zalala. Ishtaraw.
Zalala. That doesn't give the meaning that you intend to.
Okay, easily add zamma. Ishtaraw. Zalala.
Ishtaraw. Al-dalala. Maybe sometimes you will see like a dhamma on the top of wall in this case, but sometimes you might not, okay? Ra'awul azab ishtarawul dalala. Ready to go to the Quran? Recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
Okay, open a surah al-Nazi'at. Inshallah, we will practice all the other rules as well. If we found any example for today's lesson as well, we'll talk about it, okay? Surah An-Nazi'at, chapter 30 of the Quran Kareem. So, can you say the page to our brothers and sisters? What page is it?
It's 583.
Brothers and sisters, 583. Surah An-Nazi'at, chapter 30 of the Quran Kareem, the next surah after Surah An-Naba. Okay, 583.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
وبختم كتابك أرقى وبختم كتابك أرقى
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
It is wajib for you all now.
Is?
It is wajib for you all because you have learned so far the many, many rules. Our Muslim brothers and sisters, whoever hears us. So if you have learned how to read the Quran so far, okay? So you gotta apply all the rules. You gotta practice all the rules. Okay? If you do not, it means you have committed a mistake. You have not, it means you have disrespected yourself. Okay? It might be counted as guna, as sin, as ma'asiyah, okay? Because you know and still you do not apply. That's kind of like abusing yourself. Yes? Insulting yourself. Or disrespecting yourself.
Or the rules
your
are disrespecting
wisdom.
You.
Okay. So, if you, for example, if any of you, alhamdulillah, you do not do it. If any of you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم or أعوذ or من الشيطان الرجيم, this is not acceptable and you don't have to do it, okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
والنازعات غرقا
والنازعات غرقا.
Okay, one of the rules is to apply the sound or the pronunciation of the heavy letters.
Like
والنازعات غرقا
والنازعات غرقا
والناشطات نشطا
والناشطات نشطا
ما شاء الله والسابحات سبحا
والسابحات سبحا.
Why did you make the same mistake as I made?
Sabha. Sabha. Sabha.
Why didn't you pay attention?
Sabha. I would take attention.
Okay, no, you gotta ask me. You gotta tell me that. You made a mistake.
Sabha.
I sometimes, okay, intentionally I make mistake to see are you kind of listening, are you kind of aware of this or no. Okay? So. والسابحات سبحا
والسابحات سبحا.
Again, I made a mistake.
Ha ha سبحا
سبحا.
Are you sleeping?
والسابحات سبحا.
No, you are saying correctly, but why don't you?
That's heavy.
Remind me. No, I didn't say.
You said سبحا.
I said a sound between ha and ha.
سبحا.
That's wrong. Okay, wasabiha, the same ha. Wasabihati sabha.
Wasabihati sabha.
Right, right? Okay. Fasabiqati sabqa.
Wasabiqati sabqa.
Oh,
yeah,
mistake.
So, no,
but it should
he
be.
He said wasabiqati. He made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. It
he
was
said,
him.
Wah,
instead of saying fasabiqat, he said wasabiqat.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah, it's your mistake.
But you said.
No, no, don't like.
Don't blame.
Blame me, okay?
It's not
a Let's continue. فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَا
فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَا.
That's great, that's great. فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا
فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا.
Great. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ
يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ.
Why do we say راجفه? It's tough.
Yeah. Because
we are
stopping here.
Yeah. Oh, we are stopping here. The ta changes, ta marbuta changes to sukun. Yes?
Ha not sukun.
No, ta marbuta changes to ha.
Yeah.
And harika changes to sukun.
Yeah.
What did I say? I said?
Ta marbuta changes to sukun.
Oh, sorry. Brothers and sisters, sorry for that. Okay. Yawma tarujufu rajifa.
يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ.
Okay, why do you say تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ? What about لَامَ and أَلِفَ? Why do you skip that
because
alif?
Because it's like حروف الشمسي.
Why that alif?
Which alif?
الراجفة.
Oh yeah. No, because we're joining.
Yeah, we're joining. It's alif.
No.
It's alif. Alif al-wasl.
No. Yeah. It's not alif. It's hamza al-wasl.
Hamza.
Okay, that's why we skip it. Great. So sometimes I ask you these kind of questions. Read.
To confuse us, yes.
Yeah.
Alif. What is
okay,
that?
Okay. تتبعها الرادفة.
تتبعها الرادفة.
We got a good example here about رفع التقاء الساكنتين. No. تتبعها. No. It's not with ta. Look, تتبعها. Ha. فتحة. Alif. Alif is ساكن. It doesn't have any حركة. One ساكن letter. Remember. الرادفة. حمزة الوصل skip. لام skip. Okay, ra. The first ra is sakin, right?
Yes.
So we had one alif tatba'uha sakin, one alif sakin. Ra here sakin.
So but here we don't read the ra. We'll just not read the ra and.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, not ra. Alif. Don't read the alif of the ha and just join them together.
No. I'm saying that alif is sakin, right?
Yes.
One sakin letter.
Yes.
Look for the next alif and lam. We do not care about them. We skip them. But ra, which has tashdeed. So the first one is sakin here.
Sir, but
tatba'uha, alif sakin, ra sakin here. Two sakin letters.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Wan-nazi'ati gharqa. Wan-nashitati nashta. والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة.
So after reciting the salawat, we will talk about how should we read it. Okay, we'll talk about it. So let's recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وعمد وعجل فعجل
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
كن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري.
Brothers and sisters, in this part of the Kumail supplication, after the supplicant has confessed to his sins and has confessed to the fact that now he is aware of his own wrongdoings, is asking the Almighty Allah and saying, وَكُنِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعِزَّتِكَ لِي فِي كُلِّ الْأَحْوَالِ رَؤُوفًا. And Allah, by your might, be kind to me in all states. وَعَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ عَطُوفًا. And be gracious to me in all my affairs. By saying this, the supplicant is taking the Almighty Allah as his guardian. He is confessing to the fact that now he is only relying on the Almighty Allah and his mercy to live in this world and the other. Now he is aware of the vastness of kindness of the Almighty Allah, and no one in the world can describe Almighty Allah's kindness, because it is really easy and simple to recognize the mercy of the Almighty Allah by paying attention to the different instances in which his mercy can be realized. In the previous episodes, we mentioned some of the instances, and now let us refer to another story about the mercy of the Almighty Allah.
Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence. O Allah, I beg you by your greatness to be compassionate to me in all circumstances, and be gracious to me in all affairs. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Attar Nishaburi says, Abdullah Mubarak had a servant and had promised to set him free if he could work and pay back as much as his price was. One day, someone told Abdullah, "Your servant opens the graves at night, steals the shrouds of the dead bodies to sell them, and then he is using that money to pay you back, to be freed." The owner of that servant was really upset at hearing this. One night, Abdullah secretly followed the servant to the cemetery, where the servant entered a grave, put on some clothes and a chain around his neck, and he placed his face on the ground. He began supplicating and he began crying, talking to his Lord. Seeing this, Abdullah, his owner, hid himself in a corner and began weeping silently. The servant continued worshipping till the dawn.
Then he exited the grave and went toward the city. He entered the first mosque he saw to say his morning prayers. After his prayer, he said, "My true Lord, another night finished, and my master asks me for drachmas now. O Allah, you are the provider of the poor. You are the supplier of the unfortunate." At that time, a heavenly light appeared out of which a gold drachma was put in the servant's hand. Abdullah saw this event, and observing this, he was really astonished. He went toward the servant, embraced him and said, "May Allah sacrifice me for you. I wish you were my master. I wish I were your servant." The servant said, "O Allah, no one knew this secret of mine. Now that it is revealed, I don't want to be alive anymore. Take me to yourself." And then he passed away instantly in Abdullah's hand. It is said that Abdullah buried him in the same old clothes. That night, he dreamed of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and Prophet Abraham, who were coming to him on a horse and told him, "Why did you bury our friend in his old clothes? In fact, the Almighty Allah has mercy on his servants in all of their estates, in all of their affairs, in all of their difficulties and situations, and in different forms, specifically in the state of supplication and prayer. Because the nature and the essence of prayer is turning toward the Almighty Allah and getting closer to him, which is in complete contrast with committing sins and wrongdoings." Brothers and sisters, we are done with this part of the Kumail supplication. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be the most close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are focusing on the sermon number 3, where Imam Ali alayhi salam in some parts of it explains about the problems that he faced because he took the step of fighting against oppression in the society, which was one of the main reasons why he took over the governance. And he said that a few people broke their covenants, and we saw that these people were such because they felt that they were privileged because of some of the past records that they had in terms of serving the society and the community. And we said that whenever in a movement some of the forerunners of that movement start to feel that they are privileged and they need to be served, then know that this revolution has started to fall and has started to plummet. Of course, Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, he continued his path of steadfastness, and he didn't care about anyone. He cared about the truth, and he cared about performing the right action and the right thing. And therefore, you notice that, you see, these oppositions started to come towards him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to this episode. We were talking about the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam,